Hi, welcome to Bookie, which unlock big ideas from world bestsellers in audio, text, and mind map. Please download Bookie at Apple Store or Google Play with more features. Get your free mind snack now. Today we will unlock the book, A Brief History of Time. This is a classic and widely read science book that delves into theories of time, space, and the universe. First published in 1988, A Brief History of Time was an instant hit. It was on the London Sunday Times bestseller list for 237 weeks, and it has been translated into 40 languages, making it a classic and a landmark work in the field of science. The popularity of A Brief History of Time was a miracle that even surprised its author Hawking, but the man himself was far more miraculous than this book. At 21, Hawking was diagnosed with a rare disease called amyotrophic lateral sclerosis. The disease caused Hawking's muscles to shrink gradually and eventually incapacitated him. Hawking had to spend the rest of his life in a wheelchair, and doctors feared he would have a short time to live. However, Hawking defied the odds. He lived a long life filled with accomplishment, finally succumbing to the disease at the age of 76 in the year 2018. After his death, his ashes were buried in Westminster Abbey, between Isaac Newton and Charles Darwin. Although the disease constrained Hawking's mobility, it did not limit his passion to uncover the secrets of the universe. With great courage and intelligence, Hawking pursued his interests and made spectacular achievements, turning him into a giant in the history of science. Hawking was the Lucasian Professor at Cambridge, which is a very prestigious academic post. Its former holders, such as Isaac Newton and Paul Dirac, are all giants of science. Hawking is widely regarded as one of the greatest physicists since Einstein. Even the season 6 finale of Star Trek, The Next Generation, paid great tribute to Hawking. It arranged a scene in which a simulation of Hawking, portrayed by himself, was playing poker with simulations of Newton and Einstein. Hawking's most notable scientific achievements include Penrose-Hawking singularity theorems, Hawking radiation, and his no-boundary proposal, also known as the Hartle-Hawking state. Also, many scholars credit his efforts to popularize the science of cosmology as his fourth contribution to the world. Hawking told us that space, time, and the universe may appear normal to the naked eye, but they are vast beyond the limits of our imagination. Okay, now let's begin our journey as Stephen Hawking guides us through the secrets of the universe. We will cover his book, A Brief History of Time, in three parts. Part 1, From the Geocentric Theory to the Theory of Relativity. Part 2, A Dynamic Universe. Part 3, Discussions on Some Hot Topics. Part 1, From the Geocentric Theory to the Theory of Relativity. To begin our journey, let's travel back in time 2,000 years. Before the telescope, people had no effective tools to observe what lay beyond the sky. They could only rely on their naked eyes to perceive our universe. Therefore, they felt that the Earth was an immense flat disk, and some of them imagined this disk was supported by towers formed by turtles all the way down. According to history, the Greek philosopher Aristotle was the first to challenge the flat Earth model. He discovered evidence that contradicted this view. For example, when a lunar eclipse occurred, the Earth's shadow on the moon is always round. This was possible only if the Earth was a sphere. If the Earth was flat, its shadow on the moon would most likely be elongated and elliptical. Also, Aristotle noticed that, when people observed a ship appearing on the horizon, they always saw the sails before the hull. The flat Earth theory could not explain this phenomenon. Therefore, Aristotle hypothesized that the Earth was spherical, while the Sun, the Moon, the planets, and the stars moved in circular orbits about the Earth. As we moved into the 2nd century AD, Ptolemy developed Aristotle's idea into a complete cosmological model. In his model, the Earth was the center of the universe, and it was surrounded by 8 planets carrying the Sun, the Moon, and other stars and planets. Ptolemy's model was reasonably accurate, but it had a critical flaw. It assumed that the Moon followed an orbit that was very different from the one we observed. Nevertheless, this flaw did not reduce the popularity of Ptolemy's model. Known as the geocentric theory, his model was widely accepted for nearly 2,000 years. Ptolemy's geocentric theory was questioned until the 16th century. In 1514, Nicolaus Copernicus unveiled his heliocentric theory. Copernicus believed that the Sun was stationary at the center of the universe, and the Earth and the planets moved in circular orbits around the Sun. Later, the astronomer Johannes Kepler modified Copernicus's model. Kepler hypothesized that the orbit of planets was elliptical rather than circular because elliptical orbits better matched his observations. Now, the prevailing scientific theory finally correlated with then-current observations. However, Kepler was unsatisfied with his theory. He could not figure out why planets orbited in an ellipse. He believed there was a magnetic force compelling planets to orbit the Sun, but if it were indeed magnetics, he thought their orbits should all be circular instead of elliptical. So, what is the driving force behind the elliptical orbital revolution? This question was answered by Sir Isaac Newton. In 1687, Newton published his work Philosophiae Naturalis Principia Mathematica, in which he proposed the law of universal gravitation. Newton's law suggested that bodies in the universe attracted each other with a force. He theorized that the force was stronger depending on the distance between bodies and their mass. This force causes apples to fall to the earth rather than rise into the sky, and this is the force that creates the planet's elliptical orbit. Since the publication of this book, this force has been known as gravity. Moreover, Newton concluded that the gravitational attraction of a star is one quarter out of a similar star at half the distance. The relation between gravity and distance was exact. The planets could not maintain an elliptical orbit if the gravitational attraction reduced or increased faster with the distance, otherwise, the planets would either spiral into the Sun or escape from the Sun. In addition to discovering the laws of gravity, Newton's work also invalidated Aristotle's belief in a preferred state of rest. Specifically, Aristotle believed that a body would remain perfectly still if no force acted on it. But Newton's laws showed that this was not true. There is no such thing as an absolute state of rest. Both rest and motion depended on your frame of reference. For example, we could say the Earth does not move and the Moon rises and falls. But for someone on the Moon, the Moon remains still while the Earth orbits around above it. The lack of absolute rest implied the fact that absolute, immovable space does not exist. It also meant the position of an object had to be relative to other objects, so it was impossible to give an object an absolute position without another object as a reference. However, Newton refused to accept this interpretation of his theory because it contradicted his belief in an absolute God. Besides Newton's belief in an absolute God, Newton also believed that time was absolute. He thought time and space were independent, existing separately from each other. He assumed that we all experience the time passing between events the same. This view is aligned with our experience, and it may seem to be true when we observe things like a falling apple or a planet moving along its orbit. However, it leads to a theoretical derivation that contradicts observations, especially when the object is traveling near or at the speed of light. Let's say you are aboard an airplane. You flash a light from the plane's back end towards its front end. How do you calculate the distance that the light traveled upon reaching the front end? For a passenger on the flight, this distance is obviously equal to the length of the aircraft. But for another observer on the ground, the light has gone a longer distance, which would be the length of the airplane in addition to the distance the airplane traveled before the light reaches the plane's front end. This is Newton's law at its most basic level. Distance between events could be different for various observers. Were we to calculate the speed of light according to subjective observations, we would find two different results, being that speed equals distance over time. Since the two observers see the light travel different distances over the same duration of time, they must have different speeds. So, if Newton's previous belief in that time is absolute, that would lead us to conclude that the speed of light varies according to its observer. In 1865, the British physicist James Clerk Maxwell predicted that the speed of light was fixed. His belief was later proven by Albert Michelson and Edward Morley in 1887. Before their experiment, most scientists believed that our universe was permeated by a substance called the ether. Ether, they thought, passed by the Earth from behind as it orbited the Sun. Because of its ubiquity, time would be relative to the speed of ether. Michelson and Morley set up an experiment intending to validify the existence of ether for the reason that if it were indeed surrounding us, it would surely influence the speed that light travels. They hypothesized it would make the speed of light in the direction of the Earth's motion higher and that at right angles to the Earth's motion. But surprisingly, they found that the speed of light was the same in both directions. Their findings refuted the existence of a substance they called ether and affirmed that the speed of light is absolute and fixed. At that point in time, Newton's theory asserted that the time between two events was absolute, and it concluded that the speed of light was relative to observers. However, his theory was contradicted by Maxwell, whose observation suggested that the speed of light was a constant. How to explain such a contradiction? In 1905, Albert Einstein pointed out that Newton's theory was wrong. The truth was that the time between two events was not fixed, and the speed of light is constant. Einstein's theory basically meant that, if a pulse of light was sent from one place to another, all observers must agree on the speed of the light. But, since they may not agree on the distance the light has traveled, they would disagree over the time it has taken. That's to say, time was relative to the observer rather than absolute. Einstein's theory led to many interesting thought experiments. Take the following for example. Let's say we have a pair of twins. One lives on the Earth, and the other one travels to outer space in a spaceship at a speed near light speed. According to Einstein's theory of relativity, the twin on the spaceship will age slower than the counterpart who stayed on Earth. As a result, Einstein flipped Newton's view of absolute time on its head. His theory, known as the special theory of relativity, led to a totally new understanding of space and time. Apart from the relativity of time, special relativity also tells us that energy and mass are equivalent. So, the energy of a moving object will make an object's mass greater. As a result, if an object is moving at light speed, it must have infinite mass. This means that objects with mass cannot reach the speed of light. Only light and other waves can reach light speed because they do not have mass. But this speed limit led to a new problem in that it contradicts Newton's theory of gravity. Newton's theory suggested that gravitational attraction depends on the distance between objects. That means if we moved an object, its force of attraction on another object would instantly change. Such an instant change of gravitational attraction further meant that the speed of gravitational effects was infinite, which violated Einstein's theory that nothing can exceed light speed. Einstein strove to resolve this problem. His attempts to incorporate gravity into his theoretical framework led him to his general theory of relativity. Specifically, Einstein proposed a revolutionary idea. He said that gravity was not a force but the result of curved spacetime. He also said the Earth's orbit is not caused by a force called gravity, rather it is caused by a rapt projection of the Earth's trajectory from a dimension he called spacetime. More specifically, our world has three dimensions, and Einstein added time as an additional dimension, creating a four-dimensional world called spacetime. When the Earth moves through spacetime, it follows a straight line. But we cannot see the straight line directly because this line is in the fourth dimension, and we cannot directly perceive objects in the fourth dimension. What we perceive is a projection of the Earth's straight line orbit from the fourth-dimensional spacetime to our three-dimensional world. Why is the orbit an ellipse? Because the mass of the Sun curves spacetime, which bends the Earth's projection into an ellipse. To have a picture of it, just imagine the Earth in four-dimensional spacetime as an airplane flying over hilly land. Then the Earth's orbit we see is like the shadow of the airplane on the ground. The shadow follows a curved path because the land is not flat. Einstein's theory completely changed our empirical understanding of space and time. Many of its predictions have been verified by real-world observations and is now generally accepted as a correct model of space and time. We now reach the end of part 1 of this bookie. We talked about how humans' understanding of time and space evolved from the geocentric theory to the heliocentric theory, from Newton's law of universal gravitation to his theory of absolute space and time, and finally to Einstein's theory of relativity. Today, we are just sharing limited content. To unlock more key insights of world-class bestseller, please download our app. Just search for Bookie at Apple Store or Google Play, get your free mind snack now.
Dir hat dieser Podcast gefallen? Dann klicke jetzt auf Abonnieren und empfehle ihn weiter. Bleib immer auf dem Laufenden und folge uns bei Twitter, Instagram und Facebook. Mehr Podcasts findest du auf meinpodcast.de.